Welcome back to another edition of Faith in Football. Tonight's special guest is Carlos Doné Ramirez, a previous guest on this show more than once, and we welcome him back because things have changed. Carlos Doné, good evening and welcome.
Well, good evening, Beto. And Beto, forget it. All right, well, good evening, Goyo, and thank you for the invitation. Today happens to be a wonderful opportunity for me to be visiting, and I thank you for this privilege. But yes, there's a lot of things that have been changing in my life, big time.
Right off the bat, I'm going to address that you are on the cover of the latest issue of La Fe magazine, which if you subscribe, you'll be receiving it in your mail by the time this broadcast airs. And for those of you who pick it up at church, it should be in your church this weekend. What? Tell me a little bit about how this transpired and what this is all about.
Well, it's been one a tremendous surprise for me.
Right.
As you started La Fe back in the day when I was working for the diocese for Bishop DeMaio, we made sure that La Fe was going to be that special element that identified the diocese. And other dioceses have newspapers and they have flyers and stuff like that. But when they had this in mind of having a magazine, the excitement was very vivid that we were going to be having something different compared to the rest of the dioceses in Texas. And when La Fe came out, it was just, you know, that powerful hit. And then the content of it was really very close and connected to the actual faith of our people. And I think that La Fe, even the word itself, brought in a lot of clarity as to who the people of God in our neighborhood is about. Mm-hmm. The inspirational, you know, stories that come out, the actual reporting of events that the diocese was doing, all of those things was now more tangible because you could see them if you weren't able to attend.
Right.
So to be part of La Fe after those been so many years, it's something very humbling for me. And I wasn't ready. I say it was a huge surprise. And I had to actually call about three different people and say, are you sure? Is this okay? Is this all right? Nevertheless, I praise God for the opportunity. And yes, it's what a privilege and a blessing it is. I just wish, you know, Raquel would be physically present to actually see this.
Right. And so what is the story that's being told about you in this issue of La Fe magazine?
Well, it's about us. It's about our family. But most importantly, it's about the marriage unit that, you know, we're blessed with. La Wifa, like I call her. You know, Raquel and I always at the very beginning would debate with her, why is it that God has put us together? Because normally, you know, in common life, there's one person that is strong and the other one is a little bit weak on things. And they kind of match each other and kind of support each other. But with us, there was a lot of strength all over the place in different areas. And I just said, I don't get it. I don't know why. But I'm not complaining. On the contrary. And Raquel and I had a beautiful marriage. And the issue is concentrated on the vows of matrimony.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Melissa did a wonderful job as far as breaking it down on our conversations and the way she put it together. It's just awesome. She's wonderful. I mean, she's great. And of course, you know, I'm humbled by such an opportunity. But again, it's the love factor. And that love factor, it's not so much the human love, but God's love. Mm-hmm. Of how it just came together. And for us, you know, I always, with the couples at Pre-Cana, you have heard the story about two is a couple, three is a crowd. And I say, with marriage, having that person, number three, God, three is a must, you know. And I think that that was a secret, or that was the evident thing that made love what it was with Raquel and I.
A different kind of trinity.
A different kind of trinity.
Because three is that important number in our faith.
Yes, it is. And by all means, you know, there were so many stories that we were able to share it. And of course, poor girl is limited to,
right,
to certain things, right?
Right.
But I believe that this article and the way it's been addressed it's just a wonderful itself. And you know, I usually tell couples, not only in pre-Cana, but in working with families, in Spanish, I always have told them, you know, ama y déjate amar. Because I think that it's very important, you know, to love and let yourself be loved. Because indeed, that's the secret of being able to share yourself with that significant other.
How long has it been now since Raquel passed away?
I'm living these days, usually between the 25th of the month up to the 1st of the month. Every month, it's just, I don't know. Sometimes I try not to think about it, and I try myself and to avoid, you know, thinking about it.
Sorry that I brought it up tonight.
No. But, you know, those days are important because it's not to relive the past, but actually learn how to live the present with what you lived in the past. It's been 41 months. You know, it's been 3 years and 5 months. And I keep track on that simply because it's something that has happened in me that has transformed me to this new journey. And I had to learn quickly how to live this new journey. You know, we have a tribe, the Ramirez tribe. You know, there we had eight, one girl in heaven. And, of course, the seven that grew up with us, they're now all adults. And I'm faced on teaching our kids, okay? It's not my kids. It's our kids, the element of being adults. And I'm teaching them as an adult. And that's a new challenge. But yet, the love of Raquel continues to be strong. It continues to be very strong. And I praise God for it because the best way to be with Raquel is when I go to Mass.
Mm. Okay? And why is that?
Because Mass, in the celebration of the Eucharist, celebration itself, it gives you the opportunity where the communion of saints are present with you. The angels are there because of God's presence is there. But there in liturgy, you also have a little part during the Eucharistic prayer where we pray for those that have gone before us.
Yeah.
And when you think of them, because you've thought of them and the love is there, God will make sure that she's present.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, I you know, we're in the radio, you can show it, but I normally carry what we call a hand cross, you know? And Raquel and I were very seldom, very rare to be sitting in the pews because Raquel was always out there with the choir. I was up here with the altar service or any type of other ministry that was doing up in church. And she was always with the music ministry. So we're always serving. And I remember that, you know, Raquel was, because she was down here, she had all the kids and the kids had to just hang on to something, including the older ones, hang on to the little ones, right. You know, so for the sake of being able to us being there, because we always would bring him in. And we're always there. And there was a moment during Mass that we would look at each other and everybody, you know, both of us from distance doing our ministry. But we just looked and the unity was there. Later on, when we stopped our ministry, because we had to move out of our parish from St. Vincent de Paul, and we went back to Holy Redeemer after 29 years at St. Vincent de Paul, we started to actually be part of the congregation sitting in the pews. And every time we would kneel, she would sneak in her arm and hold my hand during consecration.
Mm.
And I was going through hard stuff with her passing, and I started to go to Mass every day. And a friend of mine had given me this particular cross, and I had an experience where I was frustrated, and I was at her resting place, and I remember that I had put my cross in my pocket, and not giving a sense to it, but I was there, and I put my hands in my pocket, and I was trying to just have my arm flap all over the place there at the cemetery, but in trying to speak to her and trying to hear her. And I put my hands, and says, I miss holding your hand. And at that very moment, I was grabbing the actual cross that I just dropped. And it gave me the sense that now I can hold her hand here. So now in Mass, at the actual consecration, the moment I kneel, I get out my cross. I don't drop it like now. And I go ahead and just hold on to it. It assimilates a little bit on the human aspect, that tendency of having the whole hand. But it's a new experience, and it's a new reality that God's love makes it possible for me to understand. I can feel it. There's no human sense of feeling, but there is a feeling within the soul that guarantees. You can't explain it because it's beyond humanity, beyond human being nature of it. But there is an essence of reality of that true love being, okay, not alone. Okay, and so I have my moments. And of course, that's always been the case. And that's why I carry my cross. And because when I go to Mass, hopefully still on a daily basis when I can, I try to do that. And that's how I keep her very much present. And no es brujería. Okay, it's nothing of that. But it's just the love of God allowing me myself to actually be loved by Him.
You're listening to Carlos René Ramírez on the latest cover of La Fe magazine and sharing the role that faith plays in his life. When we come back, we'll have more of Faith in Football on 88.1 FM. Welcome back to Faith in Football. Tonight's special guest is Carlos René Ramírez. He is on the latest cover of La Fe magazine. It is out right now. It'll be delivered to your parish, and you can pick up a copy there, or some may already received it in the mail. And Carlos René, you were sharing, we're talking about your late wife, Raquel, there at the end of the last segment. I wanted to ask you, because we all lost a good friend in Susie Schaefer last week. We dedicated the show to her. And one of the things that resonated with me at her Mass was when Father Wojciech was giving the homily, and he talked about her last days on earth. And he publicly said, and it caught me by surprise because I wasn't aware, how she had been bleeding. And I'm thinking that it must have been something that was visible to the naked eye. And so as he was consoling her and comforting her, I guess he was asking her things, and she embraced that suffering because she says, Jesus suffered, and so shall I. And she didn't waver in her faith, even in those final days and even through that suffering. And so I wanted to ask, because you suffered and your wife suffered more so than you through the second bout of cancer, is that how you saw things, to accept and to embrace what
exactly
happened?
That was there was something that we had to learn, and for us it was the personal experience of offering something back to God. And it's not only accepting the reality before you, but it's to take it a little bit to a higher level, to where now you're embracing it. And the difference between them too is that one, when you accept it, is because now you're reaching out. And the moment you accept it, it's yours. It's like a gift, all right? Now it's yours. When somebody gives you a gift, it's not yours until you actually take it. You mm-hmm. accept it. Now it's yours. And, of course, when we accept things that we are going through life and
even if it's suffering.
Even if it's suffering, mainly if it's suffering, many times we don't want it.
Right, we don't want to suffer.
We want to pass it over.
Right.
Okay? Jesus did the same thing.
Jesus even said, take
it. Okay? You know. But nevertheless, going back to the acceptance of what God wants and making it His will and not mine, it's how you embrace it. You make it your own. Okay? And that by making it your own is that you're going to live it up to your way of seeing it, your way of trying to do your best with it. And of course, if that part is God is very present, well, then it's going to take a magnificent jump because, you know, as hard and as painful as it may be, not only because you have accepted it, but because you have embraced it on the name of the love of God, you know, Raquel would say in Spanish, en medio del dolor, ya no duele.
Mm. Okay?
In the middle of pain, I no longer feel pain.
It's kind of like an eye of a hurricane.
Yeah.
It's
pretty
calm
much
in the eye of the hurricane.
So that was something that, you know, we went through a lot. And so there were personal things that happened, you know, behind doors. Some of the things, you know, the kids, our tribe, didn't see. But when I tell the story, you know, they say, well, why didn't you tell us? Because you wouldn't have the same reaction, right, that you're having it now. Because now you further understand more.
Because back then, they would have been too emotional.
Yeah, or a dismissal of, okay. So now everything is more tangible as far as, and I think that that's part of that embracement. Yeah.
Real quick, any favorite? I know you shared a lot of your favorite memories and stories in La Femme magazine about you and your wife and the family. Any favorite stories about Susie Schaefer that come to mind?
Well, for me, it is here at KHOI.
Yeah.
Being able to share time and break bread, not just pan dulce and the Chick-fil-A, you know, but also the opportunity to share in the friendship of one another and for the same cause of what we were working for. And she will be missed, yes, but I think that I have to mention once again that the love never ends because love never dies.
Right.
And that's scripture. That's not me. But I think that, you know, with Susie, we heard that she's no longer with us. I heard that Raquel is no longer with us, but the love has to be stronger because it comes from God. And whatever experience you have with Susie, that friendship, that helping out, that whatever the case may be, it's part of that love that God granted you. And to me and anybody who has lost someone, they got to focus on that and not be selfish. That's one of the things that I've been pounding on my kids and the people that lost their loved ones. Don't be selfish. I don't want her to die. Nobody wants. Not even I want her to die, right. You know. But nevertheless, it's accepting and embracing.
Another one of your passions is the Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus. I'm back in it again.
I was going to say, I've seen like a resurgence all of a sudden, Knights of Columbus throughout our diocese, throughout
yes,
the city.
Yes, yes. And I praise God for that because those of us who are leaders, at least in my part, I'll talk about myself. As a leader, when you're not being effective, step aside. Let new people come in, new ideas, and let them do it.
Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, that's what. And very good, very good. And it's been growing. I stepped aside a little bit, and as I was enjoying my time off with working with the Knights and what have you, once again invited me to be involved in the state level. So that's what I'm doing, visiting different dioceses throughout Texas, especially the south part of Texas, on being able to help in the Hispanic Council development. But I'm very proud of our brotherhood here in the Diocese of Laredo as they continue to go stronger with the efforts of what they're doing, especially there at San Martin de Porres that I've just joined in their council because my council was dormant. So I went over, and I know that our worthy Grand Knight, Hector Chapa, has been great on that. So, yes. And then, of course, at the same time, it gives me the opportunity that now that I've moved my life into an independent area to where I've kind of created my own business per se.
Okay.
And I'm doing now my stuff with helping out families at all different levels from school district in the world of education to being able to serve in a mission, go and help out families that are in need, not only here in the Diocese of Laredo. Since I have friends all over the place, we're having problems with this. Can you help us? Sure. So I get the freedom of going over. And I just render my service of being able to do things.
Just real quick, backtracking to the Knights of Columbus, what led to this resurgence? Because it seemed like all of a sudden, just councils popped
up. Well, the new administration and
on a state level.
No, on a diocesan level.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know there was a new administration.
Yeah, there's a new administration that composed of what we call district deputies.
Mm-hmm.
District deputies are the ones that have under their care certain councils. And they got the memo. These new guys that came in, they understood the importance of what they got to do and do it the way it should be done, following the book, okay? And they have exactly just done so to where they've been very successful.
Oh, good.
And that's why the search has been, you know, growing tremendously.
Yes, I've seen it. That's why I'm asking.
Last year, you know, I had a friend of mine who had made it all the way up to state deputy, and Alfredo Vela, he took the entire state of Texas to being number one in the whole jurisdiction of the Knights of Columbus.
Wow, very impressive.
So being number one, Texas being number one over all over the world, it's pretty nice. And he did it twice. Since a state deputy serves a term of 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Both years he made the Circle of Honor, which is the highest, and then the Pinnacle Award that is also a little bit higher than that. But, you know, And it all happens because of people responding to being a knight. And the focus of being a knight, it's not so much about going out there and working for the good of others and charity and all these things. Yes, that's great. That's fantastic. It's part of it. But it's also very much part of being a better man, a better husband, a better father, and actually a better, and I would say, St. Joseph into the gospel.
Mm. Well said. We're running out of time, and I wish I had more. But one last thing I do want to ask. Another honor bestowed upon you and your family was the name of the WIC Clinic in South Laredo. Is it off of
Zacatecas?
Yes, Zacatecas, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, as a matter of fact, back on May the 24th of this year, City Council had accepted to have the name change. I didn't want to because I didn't want to change Santo Niño. You
right.
know? But they did, and they were able to do this sometime back before pandemic. And, of course, now it's been renamed to Carlos René and Raquel G. Ramirez WIC Health Center. And it's something that we're very humble about it. This particular WIC clinic and health center is something that Raquel was very much a strong advocate.
Mm-hmm.
She would go out there and say, Ander, tienes que ir al WIC. Okay? Yo te llevo. And she was that type of person that would try to make sure that when it came to life, a person that was expecting a child to get all the benefits that could be rendered for her.
Prenatal vitamins.
All of that. Yeah, all of that good stuff. And Raquel actually, you know, again, she even would take people over to the WIC to make sure that have a starting process. And she has a very, I mean, that's why I said, just put her name. Just put her name.
Her name, yeah.
But they said, no, we want the element of a couple. We want the element of the family. I said, okay, all right. But I really just wanted her name because she was the one that, I was there with her and everything, but nevertheless, you know, she was the strongest advocate of both. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. A very well-deserved honor.
Thank you.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up and get back to the second half of tonight's football game, the Cigarroa Toros versus the LBJ Wolves. You've been listening to Faith in Football on 88.1 KHOY.